I'm going to invite you to open the scriptures in the book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. And we're going to read from the verse 3 in chapter 4. And the title of my message is, Leave Your Water Pot and Get the Living Waters. Leave your water pot and get the living water. The word of God reads, chapter 4, verse 3 in the book of John. And Jesus, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. And it was about 12 o'clock at noontime. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, Give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, Give me a drink, you would ask him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it as well and his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give them, he will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw it. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come back here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have, it is not your husband. In that, you spoke truly. Amen. This is such an interesting story. Very interesting. And this particular scripture, it just captures my heart because I truly see myself represented in one of these characters that we are discussing today. And the Word of God has many examples and many stories where you and I can see ourselves, people with failures, people with a lot of weaknesses, people that are struggling just as you're struggling. But the beautiful thing that I can find in this book is that when these people have an encounter and when they open up their hearts to Jesus, their lives change forever. And this story is so interesting because there is Jesus coming from Galilee, going towards an area, I'm sorry, coming from Judea to Galilee. And in order for him to go to Galilee, there was another area that he needed to go through, and that was Samaria. Kind of like saying from downtown to uptown, passing through midtown. But the thing is that in that area that he needed to pass, which was called Samaria, people that live in there, they used to know God, but they came and turned to other false gods. So the Jewish people didn't want to deal with them. They felt that if they would hang out with them, they could get compromised in their beliefs. And so a lot of people that became very religious, they said, I will not even put my foot in the land. And they'd rather go through a river and do like a whole turnaround and walk longer distances so they wouldn't get polluted by that people, supposedly. And a lot of religious people become like that, you know. They come and they say, well, you know what? You're not like me. I don't want to even deal with you But that is not the God that I want to share with you today. You can be the dirtiest person in the whole world. You can be in the deepest slum in the world, and Jesus comes and reach you out because Jesus loves you and loves me. So Jesus says, you know what? My people, because Jesus was Jewish, is doing that. But this is not me, because Jesus is a God that loves and cares about people. In that time, Jesus didn't have a car. He didn't have horses or any other animal to go through the trip. So he had to walk. And it was a long distance. And the Bible says that Jesus arrived to this town specifically to a well called the Jacob's Well. And Jesus was tired. You see, Jesus could have used his being as a human and being as a God to just go maybe fly and get into there and be all right. But Jesus, no, he wanted to feel what you feel. So when you get tired, well, let me tell you, Jesus knows how tired you feel because he also was a human being. And the Bible says that he was weary. And you can imagine Jesus getting tired and sitting by the well. And the Bible says that he was around 12 o'clock, noontime. It is hot, dry, but Jesus sat there because Jesus had a secret ambition. There was a plan that Jesus had. You see, Jesus is not making mistakes. You are here tonight and you wonder, I don't even know how I ended up in here. I just didn't have nothing to do. But not with Jesus. He got you here. So you are trapped. So I'm going to ask the ushers to close the doors. Lock the doors. You cannot leave tonight. Just kidding. No, not like that. He doesn't force himself on people. He's a God of love. But you are here because Jesus has an appointment with you, whether you realize it or not. And that's what happened in here. I imagine everything. And I see Jesus, it's almost 12 o'clock. And Jesus knows that out of this town of Sychar, there's a woman that is going to come and approach and get closer to the well. And you know, my Jesus, he is so loving, so caring that his heart yearns for every individual. If he would be the last person in the world, he would come just to see you because he longs to have a relationship with you and with me. And Jesus was there, like Taylor said, on time, even before she would arrive. Usually people will go to the wells to get water. But this was a very unusual time because people wouldn't go usually at noontime to get water. I mean, you had to carry a water pot and it's hot. Usually people would go in groups when it was cool. But the fact that this woman approached the well around noontime tells us a lot about her. It was a woman that perhaps didn't have that many friends. It was really a woman that had been outcast. And now I need to explain something about the Samaritans. Imagine you being born in an area where as soon as you have an understanding, they're telling you, you know what, you're good for nothing. You are the worst. We don't want nothing to do with you. Whenever they will see Jewish people, maybe Jewish people will go and look down on them. We don't even want nothing to do with you. But with this woman, it was even worse. Because in the community, at least if you're rejected, at least everybody's rejecting us for what we are. But in her own community, where this woman lived, she was also rejected and not wanted. And many times it's very easy for us to go ahead and point out and say, look at this person is mean. Look at this person, how severe it is when we're dealing. But you don't know what people have gone through. You don't know the pain. You don't know the anguish. You don't know the abuse that this person had gone through. But Jesus knew what this woman had gone through. The Bible says that she had 5 husbands at this point. And I'll tell you, nobody gets married to get divorced. If you're planning to get married, you're not planning, when I want to get married and then divorce. No. When you love somebody, you give yourself to the person and you are expecting to have a life forever with this person as long as both of you live. So this woman had entered into a relationship. Maybe she thought that was what she wanted. And maybe she was just deserted by her husband. Or maybe she didn't feel that she was okay with this person. I don't know. We don't know the specifics. But we can see that there was a longing and a need for a relationship in this woman. And she was seeking it. Seeking and seeking. Because you know what? A lot of people say, well, she made a mistake, but that's it. But she kept coming to the same thing because there was an emptiness. And tonight there's a lot of people in here. And you know what I'm talking about. You're trying to fulfill this emptiness that you have. You're looking perhaps for a relationship, something that will satisfy you. There's a longing in your heart. And sometimes you try to do this and you get tired and weary and wonder what is going on. Nothing can satisfy that. And you look for an hope. You're looking for a friend. You're looking for maybe a career. You're looking for a job. Maybe you're looking for a relationship. Maybe if I go and get education, you're looking for that very thing. And when you get it, it's like nothing because it doesn't satisfy. But I'm here to tell you that there's one that satisfies every longing of your heart. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he is right here as I speak to you. The Bible says that Jesus was sitting closer to the well. And I always say, Jesus, because I talk to Jesus all the time. And I said, Jesus, why do we have to talk about Jacob's well? And I started investigating. And I realized that this place, this well, which usually is a place where we supply water, was a place, an area called Shechem, where a lot of tragedies took place. A young virgin, a teenager, was sexually abused in this around this area. Her brothers came and took vengeance upon the people, the hurting, and they killed all the people. There were broken promises in this place. And there now is Jesus, where all these horrible tragedies have taken place. Jesus is sitting right there. And this woman is coming into this well, coming, picking up water, going back. The same routine, like many of us coming in the same routine. We know we get hurt, but we continue going to the same thing. Maybe it is a habit that you have, and you don't even have strength anymore to get rid of it. And you continue, it's hurting you. It's like going into a place, getting punched, and you leave, and you come back again, and you're getting punched again. And you know what? All this condition of getting hurt, of getting abused, it had to do with an inner situation and with an inner thing that we struggle, which is called sin. You might not know what sin is, but everything that you and me have done that it is against God, everything that comes against the Lord, it is sin. The Bible speaks also that back in the Garden of Eden, when God created men and women, he made us perfect. He made us precious in his sight. He was longing to have a relationship with men and women, but men also had a free will. And the Bible said that they chose to disobey. And through disobedience of one person, sin came into all the world. And now we were separated from God. There was no way you and me can make it to God. But Jesus and the Word of God says that God demonstrated his love towards all of us, that while we were sinners, Jesus Christ died for you. And for me, in this story, going back to the Samaritan woman, she came and Jesus was waiting for her. And I love Jesus because he's a man who gives the first step, you know. He came and spoke to her and he said, can you give me some water? I have seen other verses in the scripture where another girl, God asked for, somebody asked her for water. And she said, sure, here it is. And gave water, even gave water to some of the camels of another guy in another story. But I was just like, look at this Samaritan woman. Instead of saying, sure, here, you know, she said, hey, who you dare to talk to me? Who are you to talk to me? Don't you see you are you and I'm a Samaritan woman? We don't talk, okay? She slashed on Jesus. And many times when you are hurting, when you have been rejected, when you have been abused, and Jesus comes and tries to reach you, you spit on him, you reject him, you want nothing to do with him. But oh, how glad I am that Jesus is patient. Oh, how glad I am that even though I can spit on Jesus and say, I hate you, Jesus, Jesus said, no, doesn't matter. I love you so much that I'm willing to give my life for you because you're precious to me. And Jesus continued the conversation and said, oh, if you would know the gift of God, and who's asking you for water, you would ask him for water and he would give you living waters. And at this point, the Samaritan woman is still in her pain and her rejection. She's not getting it. She doesn't even know who Jesus is. And she started looking at the natural. Here she goes to this well. This is the source of survival in her town. That's where they get the water. Because without water, you cannot live practically, right? But she's coming and she says, she's looking at Jesus. Says, first of all, you didn't even have nothing to grab water. And you're talking about living water? There's not a river in here. How are you going to get that water? And anyway, this well is deep. She's trying to reason. And I know many of you tonight, you are like the woman. You're reasoning. And maybe you feel like her, trapped in that well. Maybe you were thinking, I don't know what is the source that you came to look for. Maybe you have a well. It could be your education. It could be your career. It could be a relationship, something that you go, continue go. And guess what? You get satisfied a little bit. But that satisfaction is temporary. But I tell you tonight, there's one that will satisfy you forever. And that is Jesus Christ. So she said, you cannot get water from this. And anyway, this well is deep. Kind of saying, freedom. Living water. How would you dare even to talk about that? You don't even know my life. I'm stuck in here in this situation. I'm hopeless. There's no way out. You cannot do it. How are you going to get me out of this? You may wonder. But you know what? Jesus is God. And he's the creator of the world. And there's nothing impossible. Jesus can get you out of the situation that you're dealing right now. He can get you out of the prison that you feel right now. If it is depression, if it is oppression, discouragement, loneliness. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is able. I love how Jesus continued telling, and then she's saying, well, how is it that you can get this water? And he said in the Bible, and I'm going to read it because I'm not really good quoting scripture. It says in here, whoever drinks of this water, the water of the well, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, he will never thirst. But it will come a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And when she heard that, she said, like, wow, you mean that I'm not going to be thirsty? I like this. It's convenient. And now she's not being as mean, you know. She's like, sir, you know, she's changing her attitude, you know. I mean, you're talking that you're going to give me some benefits. That sounds good. And she said, well, sir, give me some of this water so I don't have to come here. Because truly, I always come, get disappointed, get my little bit of water. I have to come back. And this never ends. So I want that water. And I love my Jesus. Because now she is interested. But now it is time for Jesus to come and say, I want to give you the water. But the truth is that in order for me to give you the water, there needs to be a change in your life. And Jesus is so tactful, so careful. But he comes and says, well, you know what? Go ahead and bring your husband and come back in here. And she's like, well, I don't have a husband. And Jesus, instead of saying, you liar, deceiver, we've seen you. Everybody knows in the city that you have 5 husbands. And yeah, the one that you have is not yours. He didn't say, liar. Oh, no. My Jesus, it's a God of love. He doesn't come and point out and say, yeah, you the drug dealer. Yeah, you the liar. You the sleep around the streets. No, he's not like that. In fact, he said, you have spoken well. You have said the truth. Because you don't have a husband. You had half a husband, but the one that you have, it is not your husband. You have said well. I tell you, at this point, this woman is like a whole open book. She's like, oh, my God. Now she's like, I think you are like a prophet. She started discerning. And it is easy for you and me to come and point out somebody. But I tell you, I identify with this woman because this woman has been rejected, hurt. And I tell you here, I have no problem telling you here that I have been rejected. How many of you have been rejected? Lift up your hand. All of us. And if you haven't been, get ready. The Bible says that offenses come, you know. All of us get rejected, hurt, betrayed. But she had been betrayed. The only difference between her and me is that I have Jesus. And every time I get rejected, I'm like, Jesus, you love me. And he said, yes, I do. He does love me. You have no idea. Hallelujah. I love him. I love him. And so Jesus is talking to this woman, and the issue of relationships comes back to the air. Because the truth, it wasn't that she was failing into the marriage. That was just the consequences. But there was an inner need that this woman had. And you see, this woman had an inner need of a deep and truthful relationship. And today, I know you and me, we are desperate. In fact, God created us with that need, a need of relationship where we can have a real connection. And she was looking for this relationship in the wrong places. And that's what she kept getting, her abuse. And at this point, her heart is just hard of so much pain that this woman has suffered. But Jesus said, I know this woman, and I am tired of seeing her getting hurt and hurt. That's the reason why Jesus needed to see this woman, because he wanted to change her life. And tonight, I'll tell you, Jesus is tired of seeing you get hurt, because every time you get hurt, it hurts him. In fact, every bad thing that had happened to you, Jesus had suffered already in his body when he went to Calvary and died for you and for me. And I love in the scripture how this woman comes and open up. And you know what? A lot of people say, well, she was just trying to talk about other things. But I personally think that this woman had questions, had real questions about what was the God that she was supposed to serve. You said she had been trained wrong. She was a Samaritan. They had told her, you can worship other gods and God as well. She was in a mix of confusion and compromise. She didn't know better. But Jesus came and took the time to explain to her, this is what you believe and this is wrong. This is what God is looking. And in fact, God is looking for worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus opened up and revealed. And she started asking him about the future. But there was something that she was longing to hear. And she said, you know, I heard about that. I hear that the Messiah will come one day and will let us know about this. And Jesus came and said, you know, I am he. I am the Messiah. And I tell you, at the moment that Jesus revealed himself, there was a change in the heart of this woman. And when Jesus comes and reveals himself to you, you're no longer the same. There's a change. There's a transformation. This woman went backwards immediately. Inside of her being, the rivers are flowing. Her body changed. Her mind changed. Her way of seeing changed because Jesus had touched her, had revealed herself to her. And tonight, Jesus is looking to reveal himself to you. He's saying, I am he. I am the one that you're looking for. I'm the one that you're desperate for. I'm the only one who can change you, who can transform you, who can deliver you. I am he. I am the Messiah. This woman had come to pick up water. But as soon as she heard that, she was no longer the same. The Bible says that she left the water pot and ran to the city. Oh, she had to tell other people. I just met a man who said everything that I was. A man who knows me, who knows what I have done throughout my life. She understood that if she would worship him, her life was going to be different. And I'll tell you today, Jesus is looking for real worshipers. You see, this woman was a potential worshiper for the kingdom of God. And you are a candidate to be a potential worshiper for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For God is looking for worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says that as soon as she went, she told all other people about what she had seen and what she had heard. And a lot of people came and got to know Jesus. And they said, now we see, not only we hear you, but now we see that what you're speaking, it is true. And people were transformed. People were despised, remember, in Samaria. But Jesus said, these people that are rejected, despised, these are the very ones that I long for and care for. I like when Jesus is gone. Jesus was tired, remember? And Jesus had not eaten. And the disciples came and gave him food. And he said, no. When I'm excited, when I'm passionate about something, I lose my appetite. And you know, Jesus had lost his appetite because there was a life that was being transformed. When you're in love, you lose you. How many of you have been in love? I have. How many of you? When you're in love, you lose your appetite. Well, I'll tell you what. There's one in here that is in love with you. And his name is Jesus Christ. Oh, how he longs for you. Oh, how he thinks about you. You wake up, you're sleeping, he's thinking about you. You go to work, he's thinking about you. You do this, you do that, he's thinking about you. He's thinking about you 24/7 because he loves you. Jesus loves you. Understand that he loves you. And he cares for you. He's desperate for you. He longs to restore you. He longs to hear you. He longs to make you a new person. And if you're hurting here tonight, he's saying, come to me. Come to the living waters. Come and I will refresh you. Jesus called himself the living water. He says, I am the living water. But some people have made their own wells. And these wells are broken. So I'll tell you, it's your choice today. If you come to Jesus, he will give you the living water that will transform you, that will make you whole. But you have to let go of that water pot that you have. Because you know what? If you're doing it in your own efforts, you're not going to go far. Jesus said, leave it. I'll give it to you. There's no effort that you have to do. You are continuing doing your own routines. Maybe it's a set of beliefs that you've been carrying. I said, well, man, can I have God? And can I have this? No. This woman was struggling with relationships. God needed to make that clear. And I don't know your struggle today. I don't know what is the area that is stopping you from coming to God. Jesus has already made the access available for you. And he says, come to me. Come and receive the living water. Come and let me heal you. Everybody went crazy when they saw this woman going and telling them. They could not believe it. A woman, the most despised woman of the community. She had a new face. Her face was radiant because the living waters, the presence of God was flowing. And you know, when you had the presence of God, you were has authority. So they knew that she must have been a liar before, but there was something different about her. And that's what God wants to do in your life today. I'm going to go ahead and invite you to stand up. And as the musicians come and play, I'm going to tell you, do not let anything stop you from coming and receiving. You may not understand, but come and receive Jesus Christ. I invite you to come here to the front and say, Jesus, I don't even know what to do, but I do know that I have a need, and I do know that I'm desperate for you. Come and heal me. If you're brokenhearted today, if you're lonely, if maybe you feel like this woman despised, abandoned, I'll tell you, Jesus is here to pick you up and to make you whole. Come, run to the presence of Jesus because he does love you.
Many, many years ago, back around 1978, I remember somebody shared a message like this with me, told me that I could have new life. Told me that that new life would bubble up from within and change me from the inside out. For years, I had tried to change from the outside in, like many here tonight have tried to do. You've made promises. I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to start telling the truth. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop drugs. And you try, but you can't. Even religion can't do it. She had tried religion, but religion couldn't help her. Couldn't help her in her relationships, couldn't satisfy the deep need of her heart. I know what that is like. I know what that feels like. But I remember the promise that I read from the scriptures that if anyone is in Christ, or may I change that around, if Christ is in someone, they become a new person. The old things die and everything becomes new, and they become new from the inside out. That's what Jesus was telling this woman. And that intrigued me more than eternal life. Eternal life was a nice concept, but I was still young. I mean, that's good. Talk to old people about that, but I was still young. I had a lot of life left to live, but I didn't really want to live it the way I was living it. And I knew it was just going to get worse. And that's what this woman knew. If I don't have a major change in my life, it's just going to keep getting worse. And it's just going to keep going downhill. And she knew that in 15 years from now, it'll be 10 husbands. But one day, I pulled over on the side of the road and I said, God, if this is true, if it's true, if it's true, what my friend has told me, then I open my heart to you and I invite you to come in and be my Lord and my Savior. I didn't fully understand it all. I just knew it was God. And I was opening my heart and asking God to come into my life. As much as I understood, I've shared it many times here, but I didn't feel any different that day when I prayed that. I went to bed that night, but the next morning, I got up out of bed, and I remember it as if it was yesterday. When my feet touched the floor, I knew I was a different man. If anyone be in Christ, he or she becomes a new creation. That's the evidence of God. God says, you open your heart to me and have a willingness to do what I ask you to do. Just put one foot in front of the other and begin to grow and begin to learn. And I'm going to give you a life that you could only have ever dreamt about. It could never be achieved in your own strength. And at the end of this life is eternity with God and everything that's going to mean. The power of wrongdoing is broken. The penalty of wrongdoing is broken. And you become a new creation. And out of your inward parts begins to flow this river of living water. A new song, a new heart, a new way of speaking, a new way of thinking, a new way of hoping, a new way of walking, a new way of singing. Everything changes from the inside out. Paul, the apostle, said it's Christ in you that becomes your hope, the hope of glory. And that's what this altar call, this by altar call, I mean this invitation to come to the front of this auditorium is all about tonight. You don't necessarily understand it all. She didn't understand it either. But she knew that what she heard was true. She knew that this was life. She knew this man knew everything about her, yet didn't condemn her. God knows everything about you. He knows everything that others don't know. Because you're not even alone when you're alone. He's there. He knows everything about you and still loves you. And says, if you'll come to me, I'll change you from the inside out. That's the living water he offers. That's what he was offering her that day. I'll be a fountain of water inside of you. And you will, it's not you won't physically thirst anymore. You will not spiritually thirst anymore. I will satisfy that need in your heart for a relationship with God. And so tonight, if that is you, if you can hear his voice tonight, if you're thirsty for God, if you're thirsty for hope and a future and a life that God offers you, not New York, God, I want to encourage you to slip out wherever you are. Just come and join these few dozen that have already come. If you brought a friend with you tonight, turn to your friend and say, look, if you want to go, I'll go with you. Some people, it's hard to get up and go alone down to the front of an auditorium like this. But I beg you in Christ's name, don't be afraid to slip out. Don't be afraid to say as I did, oh God, if this is true, then I want this. I want this living water. I want this life that you offer me. We're going to sing one more chorus. And as we do, if that's you, join this young lady that's just stepped out and others around in the balcony. Make your way to any of the exits and make your way down here. Turn now. Would you turn to your friend that's with you on your left and on your right and say, look, if you want to go, I'll go with you. Do that right now. Don't be afraid of people around you. Just ask the person. Talk to somebody. Say, if you want to go, I'll go with you. You don't have to go alone. And then slip out of your seat and make your way down here right now. And we're going to believe God for miracles tonight. We're going to believe for transformed lives. We're going to believe for a new song in your heart. We're going to believe for a new future. There's going to be new fathers, new mothers, new sons, new daughters tonight. God is going to change your life. But slip out of where you are and make your way down here now. Unashamedly slip out. Thank you, sir. Unashamedly. Come on. Just come on. Just come on. Don't sit in your seat when God's offering you eternal life. Just make your way down. Just come. Come. Come as you are. Come bring your mess. Bring your struggles. Bring your trials. Come, those that don't have anything to give to God but your heart, and let Him give His life to you. Don't hesitate when you're hearing a message like this in a moment like this. Just join these that are coming. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Just keep stepping out of your seat. Make the choice to live for God. Let Him be God to you tonight. Let Him touch your life. Let's all sing it now. And as we sing it, I beg you in Jesus' name, step out of your seat if you don't know Christ as your Savior. Come and let Him touch your life tonight.
Thank you, Jesus, for being wonderful to us, God. And we feel your presence. Hallelujah. If it is your first time that you're opening your heart to Jesus, I'm going to pray and I'm going to invite you to repeat after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross and carrying all my pain. And for healing my heart. Jesus, today, I want to invite you to come and live in my heart. I give you my life. I give you my hopes. I give you my future. And I ask you, Jesus, that you will send your Holy Spirit and that I will feel that living water within me. You know that I need you, Jesus, and I cannot make it without you. So I give myself to you, Jesus. I ask you that you will write my name in the book of life. And I want to thank you again for forgiving me, for accepting me just as I am. And I want to ask you, Jesus, that you will help me to walk with you, to learn your word, and to learn to listen to your voice. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior of my life. And from this moment on, I'm no longer the same, because you have changed me and because you are transforming me into your son and daughter. In your name I pray. Amen. And I always feel like I want to pray for the sick people if I could, Pastor. I know there's a lot of people in here that maybe you're struggling with a sickness, a disease, something that maybe nobody knows, but you know. And I'm going to invite you. When Jesus comes, not only He touches you, gives you joy and peace, but He likes to heal and restore. Maybe it's your heart. Or maybe it's a physical ailment that you're having. I tell you, there's nothing impossible for Jesus. He's able to heal you. As I shared in the past times, I was born with arthritis. The doctor said I was going to be in a wheelchair. But Jesus said no. And at the age of 9, Jesus came and touched me. And He made my two legs the same because I had a longer length than the other. He made a miracle in my body. And He healed me. He restored me. And just as He did it for me, He can do it for you. How many of you believe that God can do it? You say, God, I don't understand. Help my unbelief. But I want to receive whatever you have. Jesus is willing to give you whatever He has. And He wants to touch you tonight. So I'm going to ask you to put a hand in the area that you struggle. Who cares who's seen? Who cares? This is between you and God. And I'm going to ask you that you will cry out with me unto the Lord. I'm going to pray for you. But as I pray for you, you also pray and tell Jesus, this is the area that I'm struggling. Touch me. Heal me, God. Make me new. Make me whole. And God is going to do it tonight. Amen. Father God, I ask you right now, as you see your people here, Father God, people receiving your presence and receiving you as their Lord and Savior, and even people sitting in the seats or standing right now, God, Father, you know the sickness. Father, I come against any cancer. I come against any AIDS. I come against any problem with the lungs, asthma, depression, oppression, any sickness in their body, Father, in their stomach, in their legs, God, any problem they may have, Father, I surrender it to you. You said, by your stripes, we are healed. By your stripes, we are healed. By your stripes, we are healed. And there is healing in your hand. There is I receive it. Touch right now, God. Holy Spirit, come and quicken everyone in here right now that is struggling right now, God. All those sickness, God, pass through, God. Touch everyone, Holy Spirit. Touch them, flow through them, God. Heal every cancerous cell, God. Every area in their lives, God. Everything that needs touch from you, God. Touch them right now, God. I ask you and I thank you. I thank you, God, and we receive it, Lord. And everybody says, thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.